Thank you, Bobby. I'm Dan Hoffensperger. I'm the program manager for the Wisconsin Immunization Registry, or for the Wisconsin Immunization Program, I'm sorry, with what the Wisconsin Immunization Registry falls under. The things I wanted to cover today are primarily the performance-based contracts that we use through the Wisconsin Immunization, or at the Wisconsin Immunization Program. Talked about the National Immunization Survey, the core functions of public health, population-based assessments, which is where we come in with the using of the Wisconsin Immunization Registry, and then our continuous quality improvement process. I know the new watchword is immunization information systems, but I'm a little more old school, so if I keep referring to it at registries, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to go through a whole lot of data as far as statistical summaries, but this is just one example of how we use data and how it can be used effectively within your systems. My apologies if you didn't get a copy of the handouts. Rarely when I do a presentation do I get this many people. But again, this is just one example. We have, and I'll show you how robust our registry is in a little bit, but we have an awful lot of data within that system, and now the secret is to figure out how to use that data effectively. The performance-based contracts for us, oh wait, I think I jumped ahead here. There's a slide missing. The long-term goal for our program is to achieve healthy people 2010. And in that is 90% immunization coverage rate for Wisconsin children by their second birthday. Our performance-based contracts serve as the method for which we distribute funds to the local health departments. It's a multifaceted approach as far as the way the funding goes out. It's all part of what they call the consolidated contracts. And for our purposes, it goes with our money goes out in a packet or in a group with maternal and child health money, lead money, the money from WIC and from the tobacco program. The process for consolidated or performance-based contracts actually started in the late 1990s. We started with an automated system called the GAC, which is grants. Our grant program and how we do the negotiations from it, and it's on a web-based system where you enter your objectives in your different negotiations as far as your objectives are concerned. The objectives must be observable and measurable. They're using the SMART objective process method. Process objectives are not allowed. There's our cost and outcomes for each objective negotiated. The original focus of our performance-based contracts were for the local health departments to reach the 90% goal for the children that they serve. So for children that were in the 19 to 35 months of age, for the health department that they serve, the individuals that they served, we wanted them to reach 90% immunization coverage on those children. It originally included a recoupment for non-attainment, that if you didn't reach your objective, you had to give money back. Interestingly, we took that off the table, that we no longer recoup money unless you fail to reach your objectives over a number of year period. The interesting thing about the taking away of recoupment, it took away some of the risk, but health departments were still a little bit hesitant to negotiate a real aggressive contract, because if they didn't make it, they still had to report to their board of health as to why they didn't make it, and sometimes just that failure to produce, they had a lot of explaining to do. The boundary statements kind of pretty much set the parameter of what we will accept with for the objectives that we are going for. The objective of the program they're specific as where we're and it's specific as where we want to go, but also telling them the ways they can't use the money. For instance, we would not let health departments, unless they reach 90% when we first started this, they had to reach 90% for their infant population if they wanted to do school-based objectives. Our primary objective were the 19 to 35 months of age, and unless you reach 90%, you couldn't go another direction. The long-term goals are the continuous quality improvement of your program, and then looking at your target populations. The way we distributed funds for the local health departments through this contract process were by the local health department level. You received judged on about 17% of your funds. By local health department level, basically means the level of the program you are. It's one or two or three, I believe it is, within the state of Wisconsin. Three being the highest level as far as the number of services that you provide. Another 17% for the total, 17.5% for the total population within your community. Then we looked at the target population, primarily being births, infants born to teen mothers, minority births, children in poverty, and then we looked at geographic area as well. Especially we're a rural state, and for large counties that travel was difficult, we wanted to take that into consideration as well. So when we distributed our funds, we wanted to look at some of the recognized target populations and high-risk groups, and that judged on how much money you received. We looked at optimal best practice guidance. We talked about unacceptable proposals, and then how the program and how the objectives related to the Healthiest People 2010, which are pretty much in line with the national goals as well. Generally, we're looking for high quality criteria. I have it listed on the next slide as far as the things that you had to do in order to get the money. We don't pay for these type of services. Basically, the funds that we are giving out are for to supplement your programs, not to supplant your current activities. The health departments must already do assessment and surveillance for vaccine-preventable diseases. They need to have delivery of public health services. They need to keep records according to our requirements. They need to use an immunization registry. There are two within the state. There's the Wisconsin Immunization Registry, and then there's a privately run registry in central Wisconsin managed by the Marshfield Clinic. We don't care which one you use, but you got to use one of them as far as the local health department is concerned. We do get regular downloads of information from the privately run system, and then we give information back. There must be coordination. There must be information, education, and outreach, coordination of services, a referral network, provision of guidance to staff. You have to have a competent staff. Certain financial management practices. We do not require billing at this point to your Medicaid programs, but we are considering doing that in the long term or in the future. And then some type of data collection analysis and reporting as far as meeting your goals. We take a strong look at the National Immunization Survey. And one of the things that we saw is that we were hanging pretty close in around the 77 to 80 percentile, but we weren't moving all that much. This is our single antigen, some of the single antigen information, and we're pretty high, but the problem is we weren't moving. And again, I'll just go over this very quickly. It kind of shows you where we were. Although we weren't losing ground, we decided we needed to change some things up a little bit if we were going to continue to improve. Other states around us or throughout the country were moving up. Our percentages hadn't changed much, but again, we were losing ground as far as keeping up with other states. And we're a little competitive, as like the other states are. We want to improve our rates as well as anybody else. And that is why I think we changed our system to go to the performance-based contracts. I'm sorry, to the population-based assessments. Because what we were looking at, when you look at the core functions of public health, you go down to the bottom one, which is assurance. And this is what we're kind of hanging our hats on with the local health departments. And they can't really argue about this. They're not really too fired up about these contracts because they're responsible for kids that they don't touch. But if you look at the core functions of public health, where as a local health department, you are responsible for not only the kids you serve, but the kids from your entire jurisdiction. So then looking at this, we go back to the top and look at the assessment role. Do an assessment of what the immunization levels are within your community. Do some policy development. Work with the different partners within your area. and make sure that the kids are properly immunized. Maybe you're not going to do it all, but you have to work with your partners. And we've had a lot of nice, we don't have a statewide coalition, but we have a lot of different regional and local coalitions that are being developed. And in the state of Wisconsin, we estimate that about 65% of the immunizations are given through the private sector and 35% are given through the local health department. So we know if we're going to reach the 90% goal, we're not going to do it alone, and we have to develop those partnerships. This is an example of one of our current population-based assessments or population-based objectives. By December 31st, 2008, blank percentage of infants born to families residing in whichever health department jurisdiction it is who turn 24 months of age during the contract year will have received 4 DTP, 3 polio, 1 MMR, 3 Hib, 3 hepatitis B, and 1 varicella. And the rate of improvement is based on this context. If you are under 50%, you have to have a 10% increase, and so on down the line. If they pick one of these objectives, it's pretty much non-negotiable. We'll let it go. We'll accept it and move forward. And pretty much right now, we are demanding at least one population-based objective in order to receive funds from our program. The Wisconsin Immunization Registry, just to give you an idea of where we are with that system, we implemented statewide in the year 2000. It's a web-based birth-to-death system. We developed it in cooperation with the division, what is now called the Division of Healthcare Access and Accountability, which is our Medicaid branch. The ongoing maintenance and support of the registry is co-sponsored by that by our Medicaid branch and our immunization program, based on the percentage of kids that are in the system that are Medicaid eligible. So right now, for our ongoing maintenance and support of the system, they pay for approximately 44% because of the Medicaid eligibility, and we pay 56% again for the ongoing maintenance and support. We were able to leverage major federal dollars through Medicaid because of the working with the Medicaid group. There's 5.9 million clients in the program. The population for Wisconsin is probably about 5.5, 5.6. It's a birth-to-death system. There are 38 million immunizations within the system. There's 15,000 immunizations entered on a per-day basis with 1,200 providers at approximately 3,500 sites. There's approximately 76 hospitals on the system, 60 that are actually entering data. One of the things, and we get our birth information from Vital Statistics. One of the things we're working on with them is to get and that's based on electronic reporting from the birth hospitals. And right now, we are not getting hepatitis B on that report, and we're working with them to get that included in future downloads, because that continues to be an issue for us. We have 1,000 active users on a daily basis during the hours of 7:30 to 4:30. We do have school access to the system. However, we do not allow data entry from schools unless they are a group that actively give immunizations, and that's because of we are concerned about the validity of their data and also because of FERPA concerns. We have allowed public access. We collect Social Security number on the system. However, it's not a mandatory field. But in order to get public access, you either need to have your Social Security number or your Medicaid number, and that allows you to go into the system and you get one hit and one hit only. When we developed this, we weren't real, in checking with other states and other programs, we were a little skeptical as far as how this would go, as far as would a number of people really want to access the system that way. But as you can see, we're getting quite a few parents accessing the system this way for theirs or their children's records. This is the report that we use for the local health departments and what we call the benchmark report. And this just gives you an example of the information we're collecting, the name of the health department, the number of clients residing in the county. We want both clients that did or did not meet the selected benchmarks. And just to consider immunizations meeting the benchmark, these are the birth dates or the given cohort that we're looking for. The evaluation date, the benchmark age is at 24 months of age. That's where we're looking for the completion of 43133. And there's your selected benchmarks, DTAP4, hepatitis B, so 43133. And then for this report, it shows you how that particular health department met the criteria. When I first looked at this slide, I was a little concerned because the line kept on going down. But if you look close, it shows the success of our performance-based contacts and now our population-based assessments. On the far left-hand column, you'll see that number 4 is the number of when we first started this in 2002, or first started measuring the number of health departments that actually were over 80%. And as you can see, that number continues to go up. So the number of health departments that are below 60% and incrementally higher is going down, and the numbers that are meeting their objectives as far as raising immunization levels are increasing. So it is working. And this just gives you an idea of the different counties by region. We have 5 different public health regions within the state of Wisconsin. The two counties that have reached the 90%, those are counties that are using the Marshfield system, and they are smaller counties as far as population base concerned, and they have full representation by all the providers within those given communities. So that certainly helps a lot as far as gathering your data. Some of the key challenges: the identification and inclusion of all partners that are working in your area. We have challenges of getting information from the border counties. We have established a working relationship with the Minnesota system where we are giving data back and forth on a regular basis. We have not been able to establish that with Michigan yet, but we will do that in the near future, and with Illinois as well. We also have challenges as far as how to identify your pockets of need. In certain areas, if we go back to this slide, if you look on the left-hand side, kind of this part of your hand, we have a lot of Amish families within those areas. And again, in southeastern Wisconsin as well. So it's not always a pocket of need that you're going to be able to identify with your immunization registry. Okay, some of the other challenges are the GIS, we have geographic information systems capability within the system, but it only goes down to the county level. So it's hard for some areas to develop, to determine their exact number of kids within a cohort. We have one city, for instance, that their jurisdiction covers 3 different counties. And our GIS is based on the Postal Service mapping capabilities, so we may have somebody outside the city that has the city post office, and so they get assigned to the city, but they're not really clients of that individual health department. So we have some challenges to work with there. Interface with other immunization registries with the recent system, that's the Marshfield Clinic. The interface itself is not a problem. We get the information back from them, we give information to them, and they have established a real-time interface into our system as far as being able to query the system. The challenge is with the local, because the recent system is not a population-based system, the different health departments that use that system can't use the recent system for their population-based assessments. But they do have access to the immunization registry, to the Wisconsin immunization registry, to do those assessments, and we can help them with those as well. Some of the other things as far as other key challenges is how to raise awareness and consistent use of the immunization registry by different providers and by EMRs. We have established some interfaces with electronic medical record systems, however, and the EMRs are willing to establish that interface, and many of them have that ready to go. I think we've established it with at least one. Epic Systems, for instance, is a Central Wisconsin company. So we meet with them on a fairly regular basis as far as establishing the system, but it's a matter of the interface, but it's a matter of being able to convince the clinic or entity that's using that record, that system, that they're going to pay for the extra money for that part of the software. They don't give it away. and then your regular licensing fees. We also accept billing data, so that's a big step. We also get information from the HMOs and other managed care organizations for both their Medicaid and Medicare patients, their Medicaid patients and their private pay. Some of the key challenges are lack of provider participation in registries, the skill sets of the individuals that are using it, and they're making sure they're accurately entering the data. What are the CQI goals? And we started with the CQI process about 2 years ago. One of the reasons we did this, we had a public health advisor by the name of John Flynn, who was assigned to us and was taking a master's course. And one of the things was on the type of things like CQI, and he asked if we could do something like this on a statewide program, a statewide basis. You send a kid to college and all of a sudden they want to do these weird things. But I think it was what we needed for someone to be the champion of putting this forward, and John truly was. So we are looking at different ways within our program, using the Wisconsin Immunization Registry and other aspects in order to improve the way we do business. So we look to assess where we are now at both the state and local level as far as working with the public and private providers, identify the strategies to improve immunization rates per county or jurisdiction because of, again, act locally, and then include all partners in identifying your priority concerns. One of the things that we're also looking for on number two is which area providers are not yet on the registry. We have a number of little small one and two doc shops that don't have the capabilities to send staff to an all-day training or even a morning training for the registry. So we started now where we'll actually send staff into that program or into that provider office. But even then, they have to dedicate that person to a full half-day training, and sometimes that's not possible when you have only one or two staff within your system. So those are definitely challenges. So we're trying to be flexible and meet those needs, and we've recently completed the development, working with our vendor, which is EDS, in developing a modular web-based training program that they can use within their programs in order to train themselves on the registry. But our primary focus at this point are current users of the registry that have full access, but they train new people as they come on, as they change staffs, which can happen fairly frequently. The other programs that we're working with as far as their Medicaid program, as far as pushing the use of the registry, the managed care organizations, because they need that data for HEDIS and other measurements, so they are clearly an advocate for the system. And I would definitely recommend that you work with your Medicaid groups in order, and your managed care organizations within your state, whether they're Medicaid or they're commercial, because they can be big allies. And then also work with the groups that work with your special populations, that be WIC, adolescents, adults, the elderly. Again, it's a birth-to-death system. And how do you determine the immunization rates for your special populations? That's a challenge because you don't know a lot of times where those people all are, especially like us with the Amish community. And then looking at the whole community health improvement process. We've talked about the Wisconsin Immunization Registry, and this is our strength. This is what we're pushing with our local health departments and our different providers, what our strengths are, and our strength is our registry. We have a lot of data within the system, and we have to be able to use that data. The other thing that I look at within the Wisconsin Immunization Registry is one of our successes as a program is it got us into provider offices where we were not necessarily welcome before. So not only is it a good way to collect data, and we've become a very visible program because of it, but it's also broadened our horizons as far as our ability to work with the providers within our state. Thank you very much.
Any questions for Dan at this point? We can always wait until the end.
Hi, Dan. Hi, I'm Connie Smith. I'm with the Georgia Immunization Program. And actually, our program, our registry information system, was based on Wisconsin. and EDS is also our developer. I heard you mention training as an issue for your information system and wanted to find out, other than EDS developing a module for training staff, particularly staff turnover, what other options have you considered? And also, I want to put in a plug for the Georgia Immunization Program. We are presenting here at this conference, and we have had the opportunity of developing a training module that is on CD-ROM. And those of you who are here who are interested in seeing what that training looks like, we will be distributing free CD-ROMs. And so the poster presentations that are open, please stop by. I will be there as well as other staff. We spent 6 months developing it, and we hit those key areas, those hot issues, and created simulations, and just wanted to see if you guys, where you are in addressing that, because it is an issue in terms of being able to have quality data, as you had indicated, in terms of people being able to enter it and not having to have the opportunity to leave their offices. So our school user takes about an hour and a half, whereas our admin takes a good 3 hours.
Okay. Let me just start. Thank you for the question. First of all, just in case you're not aware, when we developed the Wisconsin Immunization Registry, we developed it as public domain because it was using state and federal dollars for the development. So we put it out there, and any states that wanted to use it could certainly do that. And then what we asked for in return is access to any type of additions or different programs they put on the system, and then they have a regular users group that meets by phone and in person on a regular basis to discuss those different things. Right now, I think we're at about 15 or 16, possibly 17 states and territories that are currently using either the complete system or different versions of the system or different modules of the system. Primarily, one of the things that's really popular is the forecasting algorithm. Because it assesses the immunizations, it's a table-driven system. It'll assess the immunizations that are giving and give a good immunization recommendation on what should be given. As far as training is concerned, back to your question, and Matt Verdon is our implementation coordinator, and I'll let him touch on this if I'm missing it. But I showed you the different regions that we have. We have state personnel within these different regions, and they are out there. They are one of the secrets to our success, where they'll go in and work with individual providers as far as promoting the system, or if they need a quick and dirty refresher, they'll go in and do that for them. So they do some of the on-the-spot trainings on the long things, or on some of the easy-to-forget type things, report generation because of the different functionality as far as the reports are concerned. But as far as, like I said, I think the main challenge is getting the new providers on board that are a little hesitant. And some of them, they may be afraid to give. It's a web-based system, and the only person within that office, and I've heard this anecdotally, I don't have this statistically, I've heard anecdotally where the only person within that office that has web access is the physician, because he or she is a little afraid that if he gives it to the other parts of the staff when he or she's not around, they're going to be off playing on the internet. Right. Now, whether that's true, I don't know, but I've heard these different things going on. And I've also heard it said that some physicians are going to die before they'll lay their hand on a keyboard. Right. Right. And I've heard that from physician groups. So the challenges are to get those small 1 and 2 doc shops automated, and then to get them to free up that staff in order to go to one of the trainings or allow us to come in and do the trainings. Matt, do you have any comment on any of the other things that we've implemented? Could you stand up, Matt, please? We have two staff members within our program that are dedicated to the registry. That would be Matt as the implementation coordinator and Tom Meritz, who is our systems coordinator. We have three contract staff that rotate with doing testing and training and help desk support. So we are running with a pretty minimal staff as far as being able to implement the registry, but it's selling a lot of itself. Other providers are talking to other providers. I think we have to go to the next system, so I'll be around afterwards if there's any other questions. Thank you again.
Thank you.